Welcome to the RotoWire Prospect Podcast, sponsored by WinBet. I'm Clay Link here with RotoWire.com's lead prospect analyst, James Anderson. Great to be talking with you, James, on the eve of Jared Kelnick Day. It sounds like you may not be alone in the tunnel today. Is Baldwin with you in the tunnel?
Yeah, he's hanging out up here. I had to lure him up here with a treat. Otherwise, he was just going to be sitting at the bottom of the stairs whining for the whole podcast. So he's up here now, though, and he's hanging out.
And those who don't know, Baldwin is your new pup. Congratulations, James. You mentioned on Twitter he's already too big for right field. But a lot of prospect shine still.
I mean, he could probably hit enough to profile anywhere, but he's a big boy. He's probably more of a DH guy.
DH
play some first in a pinch, but he's huge.
That's awesome. I'm happy for you and the entire family, because the dog is an addition to the family, and that's fantastic, man. How are you? You know, besides that great addition to the family.
Good, man. Nice. It's nice that it's just fun working outside and stuff like that. It's fun taking him for walks and stuff. I mean, it's nice that we got him in the kind of when it's starting to heat up here rather than in the winter, but also just tons of baseball, majors and minors. It's been really fun over the last week or so.
Absolutely. We talked last week on the Farm Friday show about Trevor Larnach getting the call. Now, tomorrow, of course, we have Jared Kelnick Day, which I'm looking forward to. I actually, you know, a lot of people are probably looking forward to plugging him into their lineups. I already have, mostly out of necessity. You know, I think in the TGFBI, I had Jurickson Profar, who, you know, contract tracing. AL Labor, it was Kelnick versus, you know, four games of Kelnick versus a full week of Brett Gardner. Pretty easy call. But I'm looking forward to it, man. A little power, a little speed rest of the way. Do you think he could go like 15-10 rest of the way, Jared Kelnick? Does that sound about right?
I mean, that would be probably on the low end, I think, if he stayed up all year. I have no doubt that the power and speed will play right away. It's just a matter of where the batting average and the OBP settle. But I mean, he's probably a top 120 player rest of the way, I would say, just given that power and speed. And not, you know, nobody's a lock to hit enough to stay up in their first taste of the majors. But I mean, he's been ready for a while. So, you know, I don't know if there's a ton of groundbreaking stuff here. I mean, like the only thing really interesting for me is just like, is this the time to sell in Dynasty, or do you sit tight? I mean, that one's an interesting call, but I mean, he's universally rostered, and obviously you plug him right in.
Yeah, he could lose some value once you drive him off the lot. You know, he gets called up, maybe he has a rough week. I've had some people trying to nibble and maybe buy him and redraft in a trade. And I just, no, I've already played. I waited it out. Now it's time to reap the rewards. So looking forward to it. I also, with that same team, I saw an interesting report just a little bit ago from Ryan Divish of the Seattle Times that the Mariners strongly considering another debut right on the heels of Kelnick on Friday. They're considering Logan Gilbert for that start. So that's kind of interesting. That was, again, the Seattle Times, and nothing concrete, but they're strongly considering adding Logan Gilbert on Friday. So maybe maybe Kelnick's kicking off this next wave of guys. We'll see.
Yeah, this is kind of exactly when we thought we'd see Gilbert, maybe a little later than we thought we'd see Kelnick, but Gilbert should definitely be rostered if he's out there. And that would have been the day where I guess Eric Swanson would have pitched. So it makes a ton of sense to slide him right in there. Home against Cleveland, that's a pretty nice way to make your pro debut on the mound. And I'm just I'm assuming that that would just kind of bump Swanson to the bullpen. I really don't want to miss our two-star week from Yusei.
No, I was wondering if that was going to be a two-stepper. By the way, thank you for leading me down the right path with Yusei, because I was going to bench him against the Dodgers. Didn't get the win, but 11 Ks, quality start. Love that.
Yeah, man.
You said Yusei's a big-game pitcher. He rose to the occasion.
He is. He's really settled in. Had kind of a couple hiccups there, but second double-digit K outing of the year. He's gone 6+ in his last 3 outings.
I was losing a little faith, but I mean, I was just scared mostly of the Dodgers start, but. Aren't so scary at the second.
No, and especially against lefties, and he's got a 0.79 WHIP over his last 3 starts, and up over 100 pitches in that one yesterday. So yeah, I mean he's getting kind of back into that sort of set it and forget it territory, at least in 15 teamers.
Yeah, you know, I was kind of pushing for. Forget, maybe was it Pivetta I was pushing for? Yeah, I was pushing for Pivetta maybe over Kikuchi. And you said, you know, I think we've gotten a lot out of Pivetta now. I feel good about Kikuchi. He's a big game pitcher, as you said. And actually, when you talked us into doing that on our team that we managed together, I went and did that same roster move, Kikuchi for Pivetta in the FSGA league. And I love it. I don't want to let Pivetta play us, James. We're making a power move, showing him who's in control of this team.
Yeah, you know the guys that like you don't want to let him do like an Akil Badu for you.
Yeah, you give back all that value,
right? Like I saw someone in one of the main events I'm in with Todd Whitestone dropped Yermin Mercedes this past weekend. And I think that was kind of what they were going for. It's just like, look, I got this found money production from this guy that I didn't expect to get anything out of. Now I'm just going to move on. We're not going to do that.
Yeah.
We're not going to do that with Pivetta, but I mean, you got to, I think Pivetta still falls into streamer territory for us.
Yeah. And we've gotten so much value out of him. I love the idea of just kind of, yeah, not letting him play us and kind of, sitting him down because it can't get any better for Nick Pivetta, especially, yeah. You know, because he's walking a pretty fine line right now. He's pitching over his head. And yeah, I like the idea of you've gotten so much value. Don't give some of that back. James, yesterday I saw the Rays designated my boy Yoshitomo Tsutsugo. I was kind of on Tsutsugo, mostly on just appealing to authority with that organization. They gave him some money to bring him overseas. DFA though, and my initial thought was maybe Wander. Maybe I'm getting Kelnick and Wander on my NL team or AL team, both in the same week. But and I saw somebody suggesting maybe it's Vidal Brujan. Maybe it's neither. But do you think it's pretty close between who we see between Brujan and Franco? Who we see first?
With this one, it ended up being Kevin Pablo, right? I mean,
I think so. That's right. For now,
he's kind of an obvious Tsutsugo replacement because he plays the exact same positions, has a very similar skill set. Big like 3 true outcomes type of corner masher. So, I wouldn't sleep on Padlo, especially in AL only leagues, deeper leagues. I mean, the playing time might not be there, but he's a legitimate prospect in his own right, but I do think we see, if I had to pick Brujan or Franco, who we see first, I think I would go with Brujan. He's the one that's on the 40-man roster. He's off to a hell of a start as well, and Brujan's the type of guy where I think you could move him around the diamond a little bit. Franco can play multiple positions too, but I think that they might kind of embrace Brujan playing multiple positions, whereas Franco, they might want to kind of had him zeroed in as the shortstop. So, yeah, I mean, I think both those guys are very valid stashes right now, especially just after that crazy hot starts they're off to. But Franco might, you know, Franco might be the last of these guys at AAA to get the call, just given his age. And, you know, there have been guys sort of ahead of him biding their time as well.
Yeah, I hear that. I'm looking forward to getting him up in a few leagues. I was hoping, scrambling last weekend, looking to see if maybe Franco was available in a few leagues. But, yeah, maybe Vidal Brujan is a guy who should be stashed along with Wander Franco. But I was looking at this. You noted in our outline, Brujan's got a 100% home run per fly ball rate. Is that because he's hitting a lot of ground balls? Like, is that
– what is that? Well, it's just, you know, he's got what is he got? 4 homers, 5 homers in like a week. So, I mean, it's not, you know, there's just so much noise in all of this. I mean, he's not hitting a ton of fly balls. Like he's hitting a ton of line drives and ground balls. I mean, so yeah, it's, I think he's got a fly ball rate under 30%. So, in order to have the 4 homers and the 545 ISO he has right now, you would need to have a pretty high homer to fly ball rate.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, James, I was looking at Corbin Carroll's start for Hillsborough. I think I mentioned on Farm Friday last week that I'd seen that he had had a inside the park homer. He's got 5 extra base hits through 7 games. He's batting 435, 552. 913 isn't his OPS. That is his slug. So his OPS is 1465 right now for Corbin Carroll. Where do you think he's going to end up on your next update? Is this a start that you are buying into for Corbin Carroll?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I've been high on him for a long time, and it seems like it's all happening. Kind of the best case version of what I thought was possible with him. People slept on his power for a while. I don't think anyone was sleeping on his power anymore. And he's just got such great barrel control and such a great approach. I mean, he's going to make you throw him something he can do damage with, and he doesn't miss very often. And obviously the speed is a huge part of the package with him, as much as it is with really, and you know, of the guys that are in my top 20 right now, like CJ Abrams, probably the only guy who can hang with, you know, maybe Jazz Chisholm, but CJ Abrams probably the only other guy that can hang with Carroll from a pure speed standpoint. So, you know, it seems like he'll probably be at high A for, you know, a few more weeks, but probably spends more time at double A than high A this year, and maybe even gets to triple A before the end of the season. And I think he would really have to cool off to not climb inside my top 10 on the update at the end of the month.
Nice. So look forward to seeing that. Yeah, he's a pretty exciting player. 3 stolen bases in 4 attempts so far. Almost as many walks as Ks. 6 walks, 7 Ks. He stole 18 bags in 19 attempts his last full minor league season. His only full minor league season in 2019. Is that what you kind of expect at his peak? Like, he could be a 20 stolen base threat? That's great.
I think more than that.
Yeah.
I think he's – because he's such an OBP monster that he's just going to be on base so often as a table setter. I think 25, 30, might even have some 30 plus seasons mixed in there.
Yeah, so. I should have looked at the games played, because that 18 in 2019 was only 42 games. That's pretty crazy. So he was on a crazy pace that year.
He's a plus runner. So he's, nice. You know, there aren't many 70 speed guys in the majors who are positives in the other four roto categories. And that's the type of ceiling he's got.
Nice. Well, as I was last week, I'm watching the Reds as we do the podcast. They're on the verge of maybe losing this series. It's 1-1 in the eighth inning. Pirates, not a lot to cheer for, but Nick Gonzalez has looked pretty explosive early on. What's caught your eye in particular with Nick Gonzalez?
Well, this is, you know, with all these guys from the 2020 draft, this is really our first, games that are, where we're tracking the stats and we're getting the full exposure to these guys. And he is looking every bit the player that he was when I was doing my evaluation of him before the draft. I mean, his bat is just so explosive. I think there were some bad reports out there of people who weren't really buying him as a power threat. And I just think with his bat speed, with just the amount of violence in his, the kind of controlled violence in his swing, he just looks really electric to me through the early going. And he's at high A. I don't think he's going to be at high A all that long. I mean, I think he's one of the better hitters at that level right now. And, the Pirates, that was a hell of a pick at 7. And if you got him at 3 in your first year player draft, you're feeling pretty good about that right now.
Hey, real quick, let's circle back to the Rays, because we had a comment here on StreamYard wondering if Franco and Brujan forcing the Rays' hand maybe leaves Taylor Walls as a trade chip. That seems like pretty good thinking, pretty good reasoning. Pretty nice utility player, though, Walls.
I mean, I think that the Rays always have just kind of endless trade chips if they're so inclined, but you know, who are they acquiring, right? Like, I mean, who's really moving the needle a ton for a team with this much talent already on the roster? They just have a ton of guys coming where do you want to trade for an established player who's going to get in the way of one of these guys? I mean, I think Walls is too good of a prospect to trade for a reliever. So, you know, are you trading Walls and something else for a big time starting pitcher who can take the ball in like game 2 of a playoff series? I mean, maybe that's the type of move where you part with Walls, but all these teams with these crazy stacked farm systems that are also really competitive at the big league level, like they don't view these guys as like, they don't view it like a dynasty roster where it's like, all right, I'm trading the guys that don't really fit into my like best thing. Like they love having this excess of depth where
you really can't have enough.
Yeah. Like, and if somebody like they've got some guys that are really underperforming right now. I mean, I don't think they didn't expect to be getting this little production from like Brandon Lau and Willy Adames. So, I mean, you're constantly reminded in this game of just, you can never have enough depth, and you don't know which guys are going to break out. Like, you don't know which guys are going to have a Randy Arozarena 2020 playoffs type of run. Like, until they get to the majors. And, you know, Taylor Walls, you know, we talk about him a lot as this utility infielder, you know, that doesn't, his upside isn't capped at that. I mean, he could be a guy that's a positive defensive shortstop and a guy that hits, you know, well above league average, like that's in play for him. So, I mean, I think that they would listen on guys like that, especially, I mean, if they trade from their prospect depth, it would make sense for them to trade the guys that are on the 40 man, like Walls, you know, maybe like a Josh Lowe or something like that. But I don't think they're calling other teams and chopping Taylor Walls. I think it would have to be a big impact starting pitcher to really move the needle for them.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, you mentioning Randy Arozarena, I was thinking about this early part of the season's version of Randy Arozarena, Edolis Garcia. And, you know, we got an outlook for him up on the site. He was not part of the players we wrote up, the 1,200 plus that we wrote up for the magazine, but I was looking and I didn't actually realize that Adolis Garcia was DFA'd this past February of 2021. Every other team passed on Adolis Garcia. He passed through waivers unclaimed. Baseball is a funny sport. These guys can pop up and get hot in a small sample. You just don't know. And like with the Dodgers and a guy like Zach McKinstry, we all kind of thought he was kind of a Taylor Walls-ish type, but you never know who can pop.
That's a
short window.
That's a great call. Like, I mean, McKinstry, you know, I think his hit tool probably had always profiled as maybe a tad above a guy like Walls, but just a guy that everyone just assumed was this just going to be a bench infielder for them. And all of a sudden he's performing like a no doubt everyday player. So, you know, you don't want to assume a guy's ceiling when he's 24, 25.
We have a lot more to get into today, including our latest choices in the hip hop. Well, not necessarily hip hop, but the walk up song draft. But first let's throw to a word from our sponsors. And we're back now, James. What can you tell me about Angel Martinez? This is not a name I know, but sounds like he's almost a must-add for you in leagues where he's available.
Yeah.
At least in dynasty leagues, I should specify.
Yeah, Angel Martinez is a middle infielder in Cleveland's organization. Wrote about him last week with the notable assignments. He was part of that kind of wave of middle infielders where they all just kind of got bumped up because of just how much depth Cleveland has at those positions in the lower levels. And Martinez is really off to a great start at low A. He's a switch hitter. He's got a really good approach. I mean, his eye at the plate is kind of what made him stand out in the Dominican Summer League back in, what was that, 2019? And he's a good athlete. He's got plus speed and he's already stolen a couple bases. But it just, it seems like, and he's got a really good approach at the plate. He's going to use the whole field. He's going to hit lasers all over the place. So I think Martinez is one of those guys where he's probably already rostered in your really deep leagues. Where they're really competitive and guys are paying attention to all these notable assignments and stuff like that. But there's probably some leagues where there's maybe 150, 200 prospects rostered where he might still be out there. And we'll see how much power he grows into, but he's got that really solid base of the fundamentals, the plus speed, the defensive value, where if he can unlock some power, not unlike Vidal Brujan, it turns out I was too low on Brujan preseason. I mean, I thought Brujan was a guy who would just have been ranked quite a bit higher in another org, but I thought he might hit be like a 125 WRC plus type of guy at AAA where, you know, you slot him in, you could play him multiple positions, but maybe he's never an everyday player for them. Now he's really banging down the door. Brujan, someone I should have had higher. Martinez kind of has that sort of similar skill set where he's not quite that explosive of an athlete. He's not going to put up the stolen base numbers that Brujan did in the lower levels, but just a really good base of skills. And if he is able to unlock that power, I mean, there's a lot to like there.
Of course, it's Angel Martinez that should have been obvious. I humble myself with the stupid stuff that comes out of my mouth sometimes. But yeah, Angel Martinez, definitely a guy to go out and check out. You mentioned you're probably too low on Vidal Brujan, James. You kind of suggested that may have been the case too with Jesus Sanchez. And I forget who it was. Maybe it was our buddy Chris Welsh saying he's kind of being brought back in to the fold here, maybe buying back in on the hype on Jesus Sanchez. You find yourself there too?
I think I was definitely too low on him preseason. He's someone, you know, Welsh was really, really high. I mean, I think he had a really good Grand Theft Auto meme or something to go with.
Oh,
that.
Yeah. Here we go again.
But I wanted to dig
San
up.
San Andreas, by the way. Grand Theft Auto, yeah, San Andreas.
So the three guys that I mentioned in the outline that I was too low on coming into the year, they weren't guys that I was always too low on. I didn't have the patience to stick with them. I'm looking back now at Jesus Sanchez's ranking history. He got as high as 18th overall on the top 400, all the way back in June of 2018. And so that's kind of what Welsh is referring to there. Like, you know, you look at his chart on his prospect page, it's pretty steady for a bit, and then it just kind of dips and dips. The Rays sort of, you know, I don't want to say gave up on him, but they decided that he wasn't going to be a big part of their future and cashed him out. And the Marlins, I mean, I think.
Is that the Nick Anderson deal?
Yeah, I think so.
Sounds right.
Now, you know, the Marlins have a ton of outfielders, a lot of them at AA. Some at AAA, some in the big leagues. Sanchez, you know, all these guys, Sanchez, like Monty Harrison, like in order to get a legit look, they're going to have to really force the issue. But so far, that's what Sanchez is doing. And I mean, he looks the part when he's connecting. I think my worries kind of came from his approach and just being, you know, sort of overly aggressive and some pitch recognition issues. But there were going to be dozens of guys in May and June of this year where we would look at the production and just be like, wow, like didn't see this coming at all. And maybe I should have seen that a little bit with Sanchez. I mean, we did get to see him last year. He was up for a little bit, made his big league debut. But I, you know, he's been one of the best hitters in all the minors so far, and he's one step away from the big leagues. And, you know, I could definitely see him getting a look here, maybe in the next month or so. So, Sanchez, I think he's a guy to go grab if you're, you know, there, a lot of our listeners just play in such varying formats. People play in like leagues where you only start three outfielders, four outfielders. But once you get to those leagues where you're starting five outfielders, if it's like a 15-team mixer, I mean, it gets pretty slim pickings out there if you're trying to fill that fifth spot. And so I think Sanchez, like in leagues like that, makes a ton of sense. He's not really going to be a big threat on the bases, but he's someone that could hit for average and hit for power, and he'll probably get a chance here pretty soon.
James, a prospect who's kind of back on the upswing right now is Esteban Florial, who was kind of a hot prospect like what, 2 or 3 years ago, then lost a lot of shine. But he's already got 4 homers in just 7 games with AA Somerset, 3 walks, 7 Ks. So, you know, he's only hitting .259, but OPS is 11-11. So good symmetry there. But a guy we all kind of wrote off. Do you think that was kind of premature? Do you think maybe Esteban Florial now at, yeah, he's still only 23 years old, he's finally starting to figure it out in pro ball.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have said it was premature like prior to 10 days ago, but and I'm looking at Florial's ranking history. He was ranked back before we even started keeping track of guys' history, so it doesn't go all the way back on him, but the furthest back it goes, he was the 24th overall prospect on the top 400. So Florial and Jesus Sanchez, guys that got really, really high back in the day. And, you know, one thing or another, they're slipping, they're falling. I mean, there was a time when I took Florial completely off. I mean, he's looked really, really bad at the plate at times, and sometimes over prolonged stretches at the same level. And it just didn't seem like he was ever going to figure it out against high A pitching. And he had some rough goes in the Arizona Fall League as well, with just pitch recognition being really, really poor. But the other 4 tools were never in question with Florial. I mean, it was just a matter of was he going to hit or not. And you know, it's really early, but I think, you know, you got to go scoop him up in leagues where he's still out there. You know, you probably got snatched up most places on Sunday night in leagues where it's weekly fab, but his tools are just so insane that if the improvements with the contact, I mean, it's still a big jump. It's been a year for him. I mean, he did get a cup of coffee just with being on the 40 man last year, but you know, high A to double A is still a big jump, and strikeout rate being well under 30%, taking his walks, getting to that power in games. I don't even think he's stolen a base yet, but he's a big time burner as well. So it might not work out for Florio. Maybe he gets to AAA and they figure him out. Maybe they even figure him out at AA, and this is kind of the peak of his value, but worth just grabbing and kind of seeing what happens right now.
Yeah, another Yankees prospect I would ask you about here in a second, but a real quick note from our friends over at Vivid Seats. The world is coming back and the NFL season is upon us. I don't know about you, James, but I'm pumped for the regular season schedule release today on May 12th. If you're like me and you're looking to see the action live, then head on over to Vivid Seats, the ultimate go-to source for live events, from the biggest concert and games to the hottest theater and comedy shows. Vivid Seats makes it easy for you to discover your favorite event, find your seat, gain entry, and make new memories. Just download the app, choose your city, and get access to the largest selection of tickets on the games and performances you love, including the NFL, MLB, NBA, and more. For a limited time, Vivid Seats is giving our listeners 10% off your ticket, up to $30 max. Just use the promo code ROTOWIRE when you check out. Every purchase is backed by its 100% buyer guarantee, and you'll even earn cash back with the Vivid Seats Rewards Program. Vivid Seats, getting you into the game. James, when our boy Luke Voit got hurt early in the season, and then I think Jay Bruce was DFA'd pretty early, you wanted to see Chris Gittens. And now that Luke Voit's back, praise be to the heavens above, that's probably pushed down the road, but Chris Gittens sounds like he's striking fear in a lot of minor league pitchers.
I said this kind of in jest on the outline, but I mean, he's the most terrifying hitter at AAA right now. No pitcher wants.
I wonder why you say that.
Yeah. No pitcher wants any piece of Chris Gittens. His walk rate is 39% through six games.
Is that good?
His ISO is 500, and that's obviously a tiny sample, but
so he must be slugging like 1,000 or something.
He's slugging 929.
Oh man.
I mean, so Gittens is a guy who's been on my top 400, off my top 400, on again, off again over the years. I've told the story before, but I mean, there was a scout way back in the day told me that Gittens had more power than anyone in the Yankees system, including Aaron Judge. And, you know, that seems like a crazy thing to say, but he's backed it up with his exit velocities. I mean, he hit some just absolutely insane bombs during spring training. Both of his homers this year have been to the opposite field, and like his opposite field bombs, like they're, for a normal player, these would just be like doubles into the gap between right and center field. But for him, they just clear the fence with ease. He's just got ridiculous raw power, and he's 27. That's the thing, that's the one number that anyone who's like thinking about picking him up is going to be like, well, I'm not, what am I going to do? Pick up this 27-year-old guy who's mashing at AAA. Like, of course he's mashing, but I think he's special. I think he's a special slugger.
Sometimes these guys just late bloomers sometimes. Sorry to cut you off.
Mike Yastrzemski, Jeff McNeil, like there's a guy or two, you know, every couple of years.
Yeah.
Yeah. you know, it's you're usually going to be right if you just fade every hitter, and that's usually what I do. I usually just fade all these guys that come up when they're 26, 27. Because you're going to be right more often than you're wrong. But I mean, he's on the, there are not 10 players playing baseball who have more raw power than Chris Gittens. Now, I don't know whether he's going to get to it in games at the very highest level. And I don't know when he's going to get the opportunity to show that he can get to it in games at the very highest level. But I've added him in almost all my dynasty leagues over the past month. I just think he's, you know, all it takes is for him to get his kind of like Jesus Aguilar shot with a team where he, you know, maybe he gets traded this year as, you know, maybe he's the prospect that the Yankees give up rather than adding him to the 40-man roster or trading one of their young blue chip prospects that they recently drafted or something. Maybe they just send Chris Gittens out of town, or maybe Giancarlo Stanton lands on the IL for an extended period of time and somebody else is banged up and he gets a shot as the everyday DH or something like that. But
and that's never happened before.
I mean, you talked about how multiple teams had a shot at Adolis Garcia, or every team had a shot at Adolis Garcia. Every team had a shot at Chris Gittens too, because he was unprotected from the Rule 5 draft, and he's been unprotected from the Rule 5 draft for a few years now. He kind of reminds me, like he's sort of a better version of like Roberto Ramos, who I thought teams should have taken in the Rule 5 draft a couple years ago. And it's obvious why a team's not going to use a Rule 5 pick on a DH first base only type of guy, especially if they have anyone already in the org that they like at that spot who's in the big leagues. But I mean, this is a guy that could hit, like if he stays at Triple A all year, I think his numbers are just going to be insane. And it just takes one shot, and he's close enough. And like, he's theoretically kind of like right in his prime right now. I just think he's a guy worth grabbing. I know he's old, and the age next to his name isn't very sexy, but I mean, that's 80 grade power right there with Chris Gittens.
You know, I've been totally guilty of that myself, just being ageist when it comes to these prospects. But, you know, age versus level is so important. And if you're just crushing at age 25, 26, 27, even 28, I just have a tendency to be like, oh, you know, big deal. But some of these guys do pan out. Like even the guy in New York who's in front of him at first base, Luke Voit, a late bloomer. So just sometimes takes a while for these guys to put it all together. So we'll see. By the way, earlier at the top of the show, we were mentioning a report from the Seattle Times that Logan Gilbert could be on the heels of Jared Kelnick, could be set to debut on Friday. We'll see about that. That'd be perfect for the stake league, because I've been stashing. It's been stashing season for Logan Gilbert. We have Friday through Thursday lineup periods, so I could get a two-step from Gilbert right off the bat. That would be over the moon. Kidding me? It'd be awesome. I saw in some leagues where you can stash, like in Tout Wars this past weekend, Alek Manoah was picked up at a few spots. Seems like he's kind of the next big arm to come, I'd imagine. I saw they send down Nate Pearson, who really struggled, had like 5 walks and 1K or 0K. I don't know who's taking Pearson's spot right now, but I do think we will see Manoah pretty soon.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Alek Manoah is better than Anthony Kay.
Would you say he's better than Nate Pearson?
Well, I'm starting to think. I had him ranked ahead of Nate Pearson before it was cool.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you know, he's Manoah. I mean, it's Manoah is the number one pitching prospect in the game for me. Like, yeah. That's
right.
That's pretty. I know that I'm alone probably on that, but to me, it's kind of open and shut. Like, I don't. It's not a tough call for me.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him. And it sounds like Mackenzie Gore got into some action recently. But I heard the line was not so pretty. Yeah, it gave up three runs in 5 hits in 4 innings.
I think his command has deserted him, and with that, his confidence is kind of shot too. So, I mean, this is why you don't, you know, and the counter to everything we just said about Alek Manoah is maybe now is the perfect time to trade Alek Manoah, because, I mean, I never had Gore as high as everyone else, but you can go down. There's a long list of pitching prospects who have been at one point the number one pitching prospect in the game, and have just, that was the time to sell them in dynasty leagues, is when they were the number one pitching prospect in the game. So
pitching prospects will break your heart time and time again.
Yep.
It's just the way it goes. I was Eric Segrist. I told you Segrist was trying to get Jazz off me, and I just was reluctant. He was trying to get Jazz now and Manoah, and it kind of made some sense, but I was the worst team in the RotoWire staff keeper league last year. I'm off to a good start, and I don't really want to accelerate the rebuild too much. Based off a hot start.
I made an offer, a one-for-one offer for Jazz in Dynasty this past week that got declined.
Who was it?
I offered Spencer Torkelson straight up for Jazz. Hmm. And you know, it's one of those where, you know, are you willing to sell high on Jazz and buy low on Torkelson? And it's tough to do that in Dynasty, especially when one of them is at the big leagues. I mean, Jazz is on a rehab assignment now, but at the big leagues and producing, and the other one's at high A and not producing. But I thought it was worth trying, and I didn't expect it to work out, and it did not work out.
It just goes to show, you know, how Jazz is viewed kind of universally at this stage, even though he's been out for several weeks. But that hot run, man, and that hot spring has really boosted him. And the speed, of course, boosts him big time in Roto. I mentioned that I got Kelnick into most of my lineups. I also started him in FSGA over like a full week of Kyle Schwarber, just because he's done enough damage, Kyle Schwarber. And I'm last in batting average. So I figured, give me four games of Kelnick over six or Schwarber. But to everybody who still has yet to plug in Jared Kelnick, enjoy that. It always feels good to plug in a stash off the bench. Before we get to our hip-hop, I keep saying hip-hop. It doesn't have to be hip-hop. Before we get to our walk-up song draft, James, anything else prospect-related that's on your mind today?
No, I just wanted to say that, you know, I'm going to have the update to the dynasty rankings and the prospect rankings. I'm going to try to have those both released. I don't know if it'll be the same day, but it'll be within a day or two of each other at the end of the month. So end of May, beginning of June is when those will both be updated. And it's just going to be probably my least favorite updates to both of those lists all season long, is that first reactionary one to the small samples. I mean, even on the major league side, it's not a big enough sample for me to feel really great about moving guys up or moving guys down based on what's already happened in a lot of cases. But with some guys, it's sort of easy. Like, you can tell, like, they did this, they're clearly better at this part of the game or whatever. But it's going to be one of those updates where, like, 4 days after I release it, I'm going to be like, man, I should have had that guy like 20 spots lower, or 20 spots higher. And I just got to live with it.
Yeah, right now is such a tough time, because I find myself just battling recency bias and trying not to overreact to things. Still such a long way to go. You know, we still got more than 75% of the season, right? It's close to 75% now, but that's still a long ways. And so just keep grinding, keep stashing. Some of these guys will help your team. Is it Mike's turn this week, James, to pick first? Comes a walk-up track? Okay. Well, last week you took a Cash Money song, and I got to say, I was a little jealous. You know, I have BG, Lil Wayne, Juvie on a track, but that was as a feature on an E-40 song, Look At Me. So I'm going to have to go with Cash Money Song. And the one that I'm going with will make 13-year-old Clay Link very happy. Bling Bling. I'm going to go with the first few, the first few tracks, first few notes of that track. Probably cut it off, hopefully, before the Birdman verse kicks in. And in fact, I'd like to maybe just go with the instrumental, if I can, officially for the, not necessarily for the playlist, but for the walk-up. I'd just like the instrumental.
That's funny. You say that, mine's going to be the instrumental, too. But
I
think you should go the other way. I think you should try to get multiple songs where the Birdman verse is audible over the stadium speaker, and it could like mess with the opposing pitcher a little bit.
Throws them off their game. That's a good point. I hadn't thought about that, but you're playing 4D chess, James. I love this. I love the first few beats of Bling Bling. And by the way, I remember when it first came out, even though Lil Wayne was on the hook, I kind of was like, man, I don't like that Lil Wayne has a verse. I want that Turk verse. I was a Turk guy. But in the radio edit, they swapped out Turk's verse for Lil Wayne verse, which now is like, you know, classic. You know how slow the new Rolls Royce be. But at the time, I was like, man, they're not giving Turk his due credit. I was a big Turk guy. But now I look back and think they probably made the right call. And Birdman was right when he said by the year 2000, Wayne going to tear this game up. So give me Bling Bling. I actually had, 13, 14, I had a fake diamond Rolex that I got at a mall for like $20. Word to school, thought I was pretty cool at the time. But Bling Bling, at least the beat holds up really well, especially as a walk-up song.
Nice. Did you ever get a No Limit or Cash Money pendant from like a place in the mall?
I think I had one as like a keychain. It was like the Cash Money logo, but as a keychain. But I didn't get the actual pen. I should have. I couldn't pull that off.
No.
I actually couldn't pull off the fake Rolex either. But I thought and then I traded that fake Rolex for like a Marshall Faulk jersey. I was a trader back then. Less of a trader now.
Man, that's – why stop? How did you not just keep making trades all the way up to having like a big house or something?
Yeah, it was like the red paperclip guy. With a fake rollie. What do you got this week, James?
I'm going to go with Hearts of Men by Tupac.
Okay, I actually can't think of that beat off the top of my head, but I'll have to look it up.
It's where he's asking Suge for the binoculars, and like he just got out of jail. And
that kind of rings a bell now.
I think it's DJ Quick on the beat, I want to say. And it doesn't have to be instrumental, but it wouldn't be if it wasn't instrumental, we'd have to go like a minute into the song because he's the first minute he's just kind of like hyping up the track and just hyping everything up. And there's different parts of the song that I think would be great to walk up to, but the beat would be great just by itself. One of my favorite Tupac songs, and hadn't had a Tupac submission yet. And one of our listeners was like, "When are you guys going to do some Tupac?" And I was like, "I'll do one on the next episode. Let's go."
Yeah, he fell in our draft pretty far, Pac. But you and I both playing a little chicken on him, and both kind of were like, "Eh." Pac was never like my top favorite, but I do love some Pac songs, and he's got some absolute bangers for sure. I'll have to look up what that song is, but you're right. You got to consider how the song starts because, I like Losing Weight Part 2, and I mentioned that, but you can't have him and Joel Santana talking for 2 minutes.
No, you're not going to be in the right frame of mind to hit a baseball if you just got some weak interlude going.
Yeah, exactly. Well, great stuff today. Anything else on your mind, Ben, before we sign off?
No, man.
Nice. Well, thank you all for listening to the RotoWire Prospect Podcast sponsored by WinBet. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. We'll be on the lookout for top prospects on their way, and we'll talk to you next week on the RotoWire Prospect Podcast.
Try RotoWire today, free for 10 days. Get our premium tools, rankings, analysis, and breaking news alerts. No credit card required. Go to rotowire.com/try.